Okay, it's just after 11 o'clock on Friday. It's always a busy week on the 9 till noon show. We cover an awful lot of stuff, and there's highs and there's lows and there's stuff in the middle, and a lot of it's serious. It's about governments and policies and roads and stuff. And just for the last hour, as we head into the weekend, and I'm sure many of you are working all weekend, my bad, we just take the foot off the accelerator a little bit and ease ourselves into a little bit more of a relaxed conversation. We have Michael Letty, as always, in studio with us. Good morning, Colleen Bug. How are you getting on?
I'm getting on great. And I know nothing about any of that adult, grown-up stuff that you normally talk about.
Big boy stuff, yeah. Well, big boys have to worry about things. I'm glad you don't have to. Katie, how are you? Katie McGee.
As always.
Oh, you sound very timid. All right?
Oh, I'm
Do you want
fabulous.
A hug? You okay?
I'd probably be a bit more timid if you tried to approach me with a hug.
I'm very interested, by the way, because sports entertainment, and for me, obviously we've got the Olympic ceremony this evening, which I presume most people might watch, but also the big game at the weekend is Kerry. No, it's not. It is Armagh versus Galway. Who would you like to win? Where are you going to watch it? Who will win and why? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. It's a broad church entertainment. It's going to be the most entertaining thing for me over the weekend. There's a big boxing match on Saturday night I'm looking forward to as well. But anyway, that's me. You've been watching Honour on Netflix. It's an old ITV show, but it's popped up on this streaming service, KT.
Yeah.
Two episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I watched them both in one night, actually. So I hadn't actually heard of it before, but I believe it was on in 2020 on the BBC. But like you say, it's only new to Netflix. It held a number one position there for a good while, but I believe now it's down to number three. It's a good watch. It's dark enough, you know. Like it's based on true events. I'm going to say a true story because I'm not too sure exactly how linked to the true story it is. But it is about a young Muslim girl who goes missing in London, and it starts from there. The lead investigator she unfolds the story as this girl has apparently been in contact with the police before numerous occasions and has been ignored. So she kind of takes a real vested interest in her case, and it goes from there. But it is based around situations that have occurred before.
I think there's a few bits and bobs changed, but basically it is the real story.
Yeah.
And the character played by Keely Hawes is a consultant on the show as well. So.
Keely Hawes, yeah, and she was in Line of Duty and The Bodyguard as well, so she's recognisable. Yeah.
I thought it kind of plodded along, really. I don't know. There was something about it I didn't really enjoy. What do you think about, I'm not being all woke at this, what do you think about the representation of women in a lot of these British dramas? Like, they're always finding somewhere to put the handbag down. That's the one thing I noticed. Watch it back and see how often Keely Hawes is fiddling with her handbag and trying, walking around with it on her shoulder and panically putting it down. And also the women are always incredibly emotionally vulnerable. Do you know what I mean? It's always, you know, it's always a maternal, you know what, no, but I just,
well,
it's just,
I get where you're coming from, but I think in this
the 1970s
this is 2016 it happened in.
I think in this case you're talking about a female lead detective who becomes kind of emotionally attached to the
so you think it's important for the narrative then?
I do. I think it's kind of, you know, it shows her drive. That's her her driving force to kind of get to the bottom of it over maybe some of her colleagues.
And I suppose if the detective herself was a consultant on this, she must have been happy with how it was represented. It seems very familiar. It's almost like the male detective is you know, divorced, an alcoholic, and you know what I mean?
Does anyone ever really comment on that, though?
Yeah, all the time. We've discussed it. We've discussed it loads of times.
But there's, you know, like there is, you know, you have your male counterpart, like American Hero, but that's just accepted.
On CSI Miami, Horatio used to get always emotional. He'd be like, they killed that poor girl. And he'd be, you know, and you'd be like, come on, get over it, Horatio. Yeah. Get on with the job. Yeah. So I don't like, I get where you're, I think, yeah, okay.
It
just
seems like they get through it despite their emotional, you know. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's fine. Before, Greg, you find it with a lot of those English shows anyway, the detective always has emotional
layers upon layers and layers. But it was an I thought it quite a brave show to have made, because I wonder at the time what the backlash might have been from those from a Muslim background who, there was no sort of like, oh, this happens sometimes. It was like an honour, and, you know, is it an honour killing or not? Mm. People that may or may not have been involved in it. If I was in Iraq, I'd be a hero. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It didn't sugarcoat it in that regard, did it, Katie?
I definitely felt that when I was watching it. I was like, God, I wonder, because I when it first came out, I don't recall it from before, so I obviously don't know anything around what controversy it caused. But I was like, God, this must have brought something about. Or even in 2016, I suppose you're kind of going back 8 years now. So even now, I think if they were to reintroduce it now as a new show, I wonder what way it would be perceived.
But what would you give it out of 10? It's only two episodes, really.
It's only two episodes, and I would say maybe a 7. I did think it was a really interesting watch, and I enjoyed watching it, but I wasn't, glued to the screen and hopping on the next episode. Did watch the tune, wouldn't I?
Yeah, same. So did I, actually. Yeah. But, I just thought it was... I thought it was quite kind of padded out that they had. They kind of
is it
had,
2 1-hours or two?
No, about 50 odd minutes.
So it's basically a movie.
I just feel like there's a beginning, a middle, and end, and then sort of to fill in quite a lot of bits around there.
And on that, I wonder if it was the context of the show that kept it in the number one spot for a couple of weeks.
And also, to the most interesting part of it, as she moved on to continue her investigation, was two lines at the end, which I thought perhaps might have been a more interesting program to make. Do you know what I mean? Because say there were a number of perpetrators, that she spent 2 or 3 years trying to close the case, but it was in a different country, and you just wonder, okay, that's the story I'd have been interested in.
Sequel?
No, I don't think so. It was all done in two lines, and I don't think there'd be an appetite for it. I don't think anyone's going to be clamouring to see those characters again. That'd just be my opinion. All right, it's on Netflix there. It's an easy enough watch. Probably something if you want a little side hustle. I don't think it's Saturday night viewing, but sort of if you've an hour during the day or in the early evening, definitely go with that.
Yeah.
Right, let us go to the cinema, because we've got Wolverine and Deadpool, or vice versa. Deadpool and Wolverine. This is out now.
It's out. It came out yesterday. 3-4 screenings yesterday. It's getting a lot of screenings over the weekend, and it's definitely the movie to see this weekend. If you're a fan, and a lot of people are fans of either... the Deadpool movies, of which we've had two. And then there's the Wolverine / X-Men movies, of which I think he's done 10 of them, including a couple of cameos. This is the movie that brings Hugh Jackman back to the part of Wolverine, because he had previously closed the door on that part and he said he was not coming back.
Was he written out of the
He was written
world?
Out definitively right. in the Logan movie.
Which right, is, so do they have to sort out a reason to bring him back, or is this just predates all of that?
No, they have to figure out a way to bring him back, because it was a definitive ending and it's considered to be an absolute masterpiece. That film is really highly regarded. And so
Logan.
Yeah, big time. And so Hugh Jackman was nervous at the time about ever coming back. That's why he said he wouldn't do it. And it's been well documented that Kevin Feige, the boss of the studio, as much as he wanted to have this movie be a success, he advised Jackman not to come back and do it.
Well, it undoes what they achieved in the Logan film.
He said what you did there was the greatest ending to a character. You might mess with it. But they decided to take the risk, and they have worked very hard to not ruin the legacy of Logan. And in the opinion of every critic, and definitely of myself and Fionnuala, we both saw it yesterday, they haven't ruined it. They've done a great job.
I haven't watched much of Wolverine.
No.
But Deadpool obviously is a comedy.
Yes.
So is it a different Wolverine that people are used to?
No. What they've done very well, somebody pointed this out to me online, is that while Deadpool is his usual self and he's very funny and he's very foul-mouthed, they've just kept Logan, while he's amusing, Wolverine / Logan, he's just grumpy.
Deadpan.
Really deadpan. They make a great double act because he doesn't enter into any of the banter. He's just from the minute the pair up, which happens very early in the movie, he's just clearly sick of Deadpool and his nonsense, and he just wants him out of there, and that makes it very enjoyable to watch.
And in the past, in Deadpool movies, they've joked about sort of the, you know, that fourth wall joking about there's no certain characters because they can't afford the rights to them.
Yes.
I can't imagine that this film go by without referencing that.
Well, this film is the first one that Deadpool has done inside the proper Marvel universe.
Yeah.
So he really has access, and I got to be very careful what I say here, but he has access to everybody and everything. Mm. And there are some gags about budget, and but it, everybody in, and it, it's an open door to him now. It's a complete open
door. Is this Deadpool, you know, one again? In other words, like, in other words, are we going to see Wolverine and Deadpool team up again?
Who knows? I honestly, we were chatting about that too for ages afterwards. It could be the last hurrah for Deadpool as a solo character in his own movie, but I would be shocked if we didn't see Ryan Reynolds show up in some capacity. Some of the upcoming movies on the Marvel slate are team movies. There's a couple of Avengers coming. There's a Secret Wars. There's a Thunderbolts. There's a few of these.
They really are just not going to stop flogging that dead horse.
They're not going to stop. Well, it's far from me.
It just seems so confusing.
Oh, I know. As soon as
you really think? There's only one movie this year, the whole year. Like.
I know, but
you're like, is it before? Is it after? Who's
it's all the, after.
What, is it not universe? Gone? Oh, he's back.
He's back.
Yeah. It's like Coronation Street.
it's exactly the same as Coronation Street.
The abuse they got in Dallas for bringing one character back.
I know.
And this is just like, right, okay, that wasn't a success. We're going to revive these characters.
We'll bring everybody back.
I mean, I think it really talks to a serious lack of imagination in Hollywood. It really
You've said that before.
They regurgitate everything nowadays. Yeah.
I think, like, though, there's with these characters, there's just so many stories still to tell. There's so much still to tell. And they get to bring...
But the great films are nonsense crap.
Which was
the great films, the big films. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sound like a harking back to the day, but do you ever find yourself, and this is to listeners as well, do you ever find yourself looking, what can I watch? What can I watch? Mm. You know, you're just flicking, trying to find something, and you find yourself going back to the 90s or the
noughties.
For just a thriller. An hour and 40 minutes, car explosions, can't slow the bus down.
Or even
whatever
it
might be.
Yeah.
Even, you know, Brian Dennehy.
You know, The Fugitive, In the Line of Fire,
Final Analysis,
even Basic Instinct, Silence of the Lambs.
That one I've seen. None of the rest I've seen. But you know,
the Spider's Web or whatever.
Along Came a Spider. What's that one with Ed Norton?
Hannibal.
No, Ed Norton and Michael Douglas.
Like, I'm watching a film. I started watching a film. Is it The Net with Sandra Bullock?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's pure and utter trash, but it's a classic 90s thriller. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You just don't see. Now, am I being nostalgic? Is this like people might say about music? But I'm looking on Netflix at all that's modern.
And they don't have that.
There's just nothing there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, maybe Twister might be, but you know, maybe Twister's a hawk, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah. No, it's a huge hit as well. We reviewed it last week. Yeah. It's big. It's doing extremely well, way above expectations. Twister's is. In terms of the sort of thriller that you describe, for me, looking for those kind of things, I've gone to TV shows like The Recruit or The Night Agent or those kind of things. Because that's where you get
But
that.
But sometimes you just want a film.
Yes.
Sometimes you just want a film. And my eyes be sore flicking through trying to find things to watch.
So, having said that, which night are you going to see Wolverine Deadpool, tonight or tomorrow night?
Neither.
Because everybody will be going to see it.
Yes, of course. And listen, everyone will enjoy it. And it's a perfect summer movie. And it's a family movie. And it's funny and it's edgy and it's cartoony.
But this is definitely the most... I mean...
What would you give it out of 10?
Oh, 10 out of 10 for me. Because it accomplishes so much and it manages to bring back so much. And I'll say no more.
But it's not a family film. Stuff that you're factoring in.
Yes.
I don't have any interest in how clever it is, reintroducing characters, how they do it, the legacy of characters, what universe it's in. And I actually am envious of you, by the way.
I know what you mean. I do.
Want to go in.
And be entertained.
And watch a good film.
Yeah.
And I want to do that home as well.
I get that.
Contextualize my hour and 40 minutes.
Of course. I think a lot of the people going to see this, though, will have seen the other Marvel movies.
Okay.
They'll have seen them.
They'll be invested in the whole
They'll be invested.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
And if he makes a reference to something that we all saw 20 years ago in a line, there will be a lot of people in the audience who'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
You know, they will.
Right, 10 out of 10. What did Fionnuala think of it? Did she see this one? She loved it. Well, she loves Ryan Reynolds.
She's very much, yeah. She loves
Ryan Reynolds. Who doesn't love Ryan Reynolds, to be fair?
His ex-wife. 086 60 25,000. What are you watching? What can you recommend? What's your predictions for the All-Ireland final at the weekend? Let us know. It's all very exciting. We're in the company of Michael Leddy and Katie. We'll have a couple of guests joining us very shortly as well to talk about something that's up and coming. Anything you want me to mention, get in touch right now. Call us on 074 91 25,000, or WhatsApp or text the show. Richard Gere, isn't it? Is it? Okay. So why did you say Michael Douglas then? Okay. It's about,
sometimes I get things wrong.
We were talking about primal fear then. That's to do with priests, isn't it? Religion?
It's to do with a murder.
Yeah.
And that takes place.
There might be a bishop involved in it or something.
I think a bishop's murdered it.
Okay, I saw that. Indeed, I did enjoy that. That's primal fear. Sorry, we were just still being nostalgic about how films used to be. I just wonder if it's a load of nonsense, or did films used to be better? The Snowman, Greg, brilliant. Michael Fassbender, about a serial killer.
Oh.
The Snowman, like it. Okay, I like that stuff. Hi all, watch the series finale of Presumed Innocent on Apple. High quality acting with good twists to keep you glued. It is a good show. It's an 8-parter and it's got a fantastic cast. A cast that would do any film whatsoever. And finished it as well, enjoyed it. I kind of guessed the outcome, but not all of it.
Mm.
So, you know, you think you're being clever and you're being fun. Primal Fear, on Apple TV. And it stars people in it. There's actors in it as well.
Okay.
Who
not
I can't
just
remember.
Empty sets.
It's about an attorney, is district attorney, an assistant district attorney is murdered. And very quickly, the finger of suspicion points to her boss. And then there's an election, and it's complicated. Mm. But do you know what it is? It's just a basic. It's a basic, well put together whodunit.
Oh, I like that. I'll watch that.
So it's a crimey who did it. Court. There's court scenes. There's
big
questions
hit for them as well.
There's a twist at the end of every. Not a twist. There's a cliffhanger at the end of every episode.
Bring you back. Yeah.
And I'm crimey.
Yeah, it's crimey. It's really good. Presumed Innocent. Check it out.
Not grimy. That's a different
check
thing.
Check it out. And it's
grimy is like.
It's widely available on Apple TV and. Yeah, probably other places as well. Bad Boys, Bad Boys, what you gonna do? I hope you sung this. Watch the latest Bad Boys movie. Really enjoyable watch.
Good.
Okay. I think that is that a streaming show or a cinema show?
It's on Netflix, I think.
Is
it's
it?
the new okay. Bad Boys okay. movie.
Well, maybe that's your other app.
Oh, it's no. Do you know what it might be?
It's in the poster's in the... The poster... I'll keep talking. The poster is in the cinema.
To which you refer, I am unfamiliar.
Good. And keep it that way. Right. 086 60 25,000. Thanks for your texts. Keep them coming in to us. I was asked to mention actually a scam that's doing around on Facebook, primarily Facebook, and it is Coldplay tickets, and it looks quite legit. Let me see, where was it? I've seen this a few times myself, and you know, sometimes I just. Except that everybody knows it's a scam, but it comes from friends' accounts, so it looks really quite legit. And it is four tickets are available. It's got a picture of Croke Park, and it says I just can't go. It's got all the details. I got 4 Coldplay tickets available for sale. Blah blah blah. They're GA standing tickets selling for 150 each or 600 quid for all 4 tickets. So they're not even discounting for 4. Can only transfer via Ticketmaster. Sounds good. But they are scams. It is a scam, and it's your friends that are sending it out to you.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's lots of people. There's lots of people that are getting messages saying, "Oh, I don't. I've been hacked. I've been cloned. I've been this, that, and thon." Don't click any links in your messenger, because you're going to have to start changing your passwords, and you might have a card that you didn't realise connected to your Facebook account. Mm. But if there's 4 tickets for sale, 150 each or 600 for the lot, and they're in Stan, GA, or wherever it might be, it's a scam, folks. And even just clicking into the link and stuff means that you can sort of start spreading the scam, and then the posts change to something else. So just be extra careful in that regard. Mm. Right, I want to talk now to you about Depp versus Heard on Netflix. This is, Katie, a show that I've looked at and early watched. I think it's originally Channel 4, is it? And now it's another one that Netflix...
Yeah,
I'm a little bit like you, by the way. I don't catch anything on the terrestrial channels.
Well,
and
it may have been, but I tell you, I was such a snob when my sister was like, oh my God, are you watching? Are you keeping up with the case? Are you watching the case? I'm like, no, I don't have time for that. I'll just wait for it to come out on Netflix and then I'll watch it at my leisure.
And here we are.
But yeah, very, very judgy of my poor sister who was sitting, who was keeping such a close eye on it as events were like actually occurring. But yeah, so I knew very little about it at the time. I knew that she was getting a lot of flack for her part in the whole thing and that he was coming out a bit of a hero. So I really wanted to kind of sit down and watch it just purely for that, just to see kind of what way the events actually unfolded. And obviously you're looking at a very produced version.
But do you get
events.
A sense that the producers are coming at this
absolutely
down the middle?
Down the middle, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think so. I think so, because they don't, like, they really highlight, that what they do really highlight actually is how social media were very pro Johnny Depp.
Yeah, it was massive on TikTok. Yeah. She was absolutely
dogged
hammered across that
every
platform.
every which way before. Mm. And it didn't matter what she said or what evidence was produced in her favour. They found a way. The social media or social opinion just really found a way to turn it
but
on her.
Before you get into
that, it's vicious.
Yeah, but what does that say about us that we detach ourselves from this the degree of accusations? Okay, and some of it was true, some of it wasn't true. What does it say about us that we just sort of back someone, right? So that you back Deb. Ah, sure, everyone has a drink and does this or that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as humanity, we're really letting ourselves down, I think. And you could say the same for those that blindly supported her.
100%. Yeah. And that's kind of why I don't, like, I sometimes watch these, like, group chats and stuff like that on Facebook with interest, just to see how mean people are, like really and truly mean and horrendous.
People feel secure from behind a keyboard and they say horrible things.
Yes, and that essentially is what this documentary is about, aside from actually just giving the two sides of what actually went on in the courtroom. And also, very interestingly, the way these social media influencers and all that kind of use the story to increase their...
It's all money. Of course, all the podcasts, all the TikToks, it's all about generating money. So,
and it generated so much money.
So you may not even believe what you're saying, but you're prepared to abandon what presents principles you might have because of views and likes and shares and stuff.
Yep. Yes, and that's really what it boils down to.
And the money was in being pro-Depp as well.
Yes, yes.
There's no money in backing her on social media.
And that's very much highlighted in the
good.
The documentary
as
well.
That. I didn't realise that side was in the story. Okay,
yeah,
good.
It is. But, you know, at the same time, you could see where she did herself no real favours in the court case either. You know, like, there probably was things that, you know, there was a lot of... When she spoke directly to the jury. So, like, you know, if she was asked a question by either side, she would speak to the jury. It was very actress-like.
It was awkward at times.
You know, at other times she would kind of, you'd see her and it would be like she was trying her best to break down almost. Mm-hmm. And then she'd kind of
be talking completely
normal straight afterwards. Like, you know,
but
like
maybe
if
that's
somebody
who she is, though.
Well, yeah, but.
Why
does it matter? Maybe it's the evidence that matters. Like,
but,
why does it matter?
I agree with you.
But
the evidence, coming
perception.
From.
But there was very much evidence on either side to say that they were both in a really tumultuous, abusive relationship.
Yeah, but he was abusive towards her.
Yeah. Pardon?
He was abusive towards her.
And she was abusive towards him. Like, that much is very clear.
I wouldn't have followed the story either, but I kind of got the impression neither one of them was...
Nobody's an angel in that scenario.
No, I don't
you
think
know,
so.
Like,
did he not use his power and influence, though, to take the advantage in that situation?
Well, from the evidence that was given in the court case, I don't think so. I think that may be the perception because of his following.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what was presented was very much either way, do you know that kind of thing? There was, I can't remember which side it was on, but there was evidence that was actually sealed.
Oh.
that wasn't allowed in, and that was kind of brought up at the end of the documentary as well. It's kind of good I can't remember it because I don't want to ruin it for people either. But yeah, no, it's definitely worth the watch. Like if you didn't follow it, or even if you did follow it, you know, it's good to watch it.
I just find that he played his role in the witness box. You know, he played to the camera. He did it better, but because hers is a little bit maybe more annoying in some people's views, it works against her. Mm. Like, he acted the entire time during that court case.
Well, he just didn't appear to be taking it very seriously.
Yeah. Mm. But he's just like, yeah,
he's putting on a performance.
Cool.
Yeah.
He was, dude, I'm wearing most of my glasses, I'm smirking, I'm, you know. But he acted the whole time through it in the clips I've seen.
Well, like that, I'd seen bits and pieces, like you say, social media clips of bits and pieces of him, and you know, like that they made a whole like joke of him saying, you know, that bit where he said a mega pint, and that was kind of, which was hilarious in fairness. Was it the prosecutor asked, oh, you poured yourself a mega pint of wine, a mega pint, and they just made such a joke of that, which was hilarious. I'll admit. But there was moments where he kind of was sort of, you know, hiding behind a smile and that kind of thing. But there was other moments where he was like, look, this woman is ruining my career. Yeah. And I think initially when her accusations came out in the papers, that actually did have, like, there was a lot of people who kind of went very against him.
He was, of course, they are. And then there was an awful lot of, as it was quite interesting, as the trial went on, there was an awful lot of posts on social media being deleted by famous people who had presumed he was guilty, because that's the default position, a man bad, woman good sort of a thing. So what is I suppose you enjoyed it, clearly, so we can't talk about the beginning, the middle and end because it's a documentary on reality. What's your takeaway from it?
My takeaway is that it's actually really detrimental to victims of any kind of abuse who want to come forward. Yeah, that was my takeaway.
Right, and that in a way makes it an important piece of work, potentially.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Very good, Katie. A caller says, "Me and my husband are showing our 13-year-old 90s and noughties movies. He loved Sixth Sense.
Great.
Never watched that because I was watching the Saturday morning show on ITV and the lady was reviewing it, gave the end away.
Oh, no.
And I never watched it.
Oh.
Signs, that's a great one. Mel Gibson's in that, isn't it?
It's a great film, yeah.
That's a good show. Yep. Die Hard.
Oh, my God.
Never was a huge Die Hard fan, funny enough, of all of those, but there you go.
Okay.
This caller says, the movies were just better, like the music.
Mm-hmm.
I think music is subjective. I think it's not subjective that better films in those genres were made in the 90s.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Really?
I think people have films to now, they don't have the same sort of access that people watch films in the 90s in. That's open to discussion.
Of course.
I absolutely hate film remakes. They're never as good as the original, says the listener. I'm a fan of westerns, and my all-time favourite was True Grit. The remake of this was rubbish. The remake of The Magnificent Seven was also a disaster. I never saw the remake of The Original Seven, but I did see the remake of True Grit, but I hadn't seen the original with John Wayne. But I really enjoyed that because I didn't have the context of it.
Of the original, Well, I love the original. Like, I would have seen that.
Is there any remakes better than the original?
That's a great question.
I don't think... It's hard to know, isn't it?
Mm.
I don't know. I can't think of one film that I've watched that is a remake. But Twister is effective. I know they're saying it's not a remake, but it is a remake. It is a remake. The remake, it's a remake. Like, okay.
In the sense that every sequel is a remake, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a word for it. What is it? In Scream, in the Scream movie, they talk about it. It's not a remake. It's a...
Remastered or something?
No, there's a phrase for it. There is a film phrase for it. It's not a remake. It's not a sequel. It's a requel.
Oh, a requel. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Twister's a requel.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. Have you taken your tablets?
So, no, it's a remake.
I know what you mean.
But it's a sequel.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Katie and Michael will be back with us in a moment, but they've been replaced by two people in the seats, Mary Lane and also Myra McGinley. Ladies, thank you very much for joining us. Great to have you in.
Thanks for having us.
And we're marking people's diaries for Friday, August 2nd at 8 p.m., Saturday, August 3rd at 8 p.m. Is that that's in a week, isn't it?
It
is,
okay. Yeah, that's this
week. And it is Rent in on Green on Theatre. Mary Lane, just give us an outline of the story in Rent.
So the story, it's set in the East Village of New York City in sort of around the 80s, 90s, mid-90s, I suppose, really. And it's right in the middle of when the AIDS epidemic was hitting communities. And I suppose it was felt very, very much so within the community in the East Village of New York. So it deals around a group of eight friends, and their lives, their struggles, like they're artists, they're musicians, they're filmmakers, singers, dancers, and some of them have AIDS. Some of them are part of the LGBT community, and I suppose it's following their lives within 1 year. So it starts on Christmas Eve and it finishes on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, indeed, and it's obviously, you know, a serious story matter, but it's been really well received, hasn't it? Not only just for the drama end of things, but for the music side of it as well, and just the visuals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for those that don't know, it's a musical that is almost entirely sung through. So it's been more described as a rock opera.
Yeah.
And the dialogue is very, very minimal in it. And it has a whole range of rock music, pop music, there's tangos, there's all sorts of different styles all within it. And it has, when it was written in the 90s, it was it won like the Pulitzer Prize for drama, which was really, that was a big deal, that it actually went to a musical at the time.
Yeah.
So it's been very, very well received in terms of, I suppose, it formed part of a rebirth of what musical theatre could be, mm-hmm. back in the 90s, and it has given way to lots of other musicals like Spring Awakening and American Idiot and things like that that have all come since then.
Myra, you play Joanne in Rent, but also you're the choreographer, right? Yeah. You ever look at the word, you go, I know that word. Right, you're the choreographer, and it sounds to me like, you know, obviously you get the raw material, i.e. the book, the music, the lyrics, okay? Yeah. But you have to then bring that to life on stage. And, yeah. And I mean, there's other interpretations of it as well. But just as was outlined there, this sounds like there's a lot going on all of the time. So from a
you were nearly there. Choreographical.
From a choreographical perspective, it's a challenge, I imagine.
It was, yeah. Other shows that I've done, it's you have a song and it just slots in then with the, you know, in between the scenes. Whereas this one, yeah, it's a lot of working alongside with Mary, because obviously it's continuous movement, and Mary would also have a vision of where she wants people to be. Yeah. So
more so maybe in other productions, you used to have to work really closely together on this, I presume.
Definitely, yeah.
This is your third time as a choreographer.
Well, the main, my last big one for me would have been, I co-directed, produced and choreographed All Shook Up last year. So that would have been my main kind of introduction to choreography. But I've been a Zumba's instructor for like over 11, 12 years. So I'm used to putting together dances and teaching classes.
What about your character, Joanne?
Joanne, she's unlike the other characters, they're from more poverty kind of, or middle class. Joanne's from an upper class family, and she's very grounded, and she probably had a strict upbringing, but she's not afraid to speak her own voice and mind and follow her own path. And she's, she does a lot for the underdog.
Mm. And she has a romantic interest with someone else who's her polar opposite as well.
Yeah, so exactly.
How does that sort of lend itself to the story?
Well, it's lovely, like, in the story, because it's very obvious that they're polar opposite and they do clash heads a lot during it, but it's also really sweet, and it's a lovely storyline. Maureen is her love interest in Rent.
I suppose Mary, not everyone's going to be able to relate to the character specifically, what they're going through, their lifestyles, or whatever it might be. But like anything that's written well, it relates to you maybe in different ways, but you know, because we all go through the same stuff, but it has different labels and different sort of outfits on, you know.
Yeah, that absolutely. You know, people will they'll be able to sort of identify with the loves and the friendships and the losses and the grief and general life
attitude
challenges
to life.
And I suppose a big motto of the show is, you know, no day but today.
Mm.
So the everything is living in the moment. Another beautiful lyric that was even highlighted to me again yesterday that made me take another double take was, forget regret, for life is yours to miss. And it really, I thought that what a spectacular line that is. You know, to sort of embrace what is happening. And I know it's not a show that, you know, maybe people might think, oh, I don't know if those themes are up my street. But I would really encourage you to, I suppose, open your mind to come and see what we have to offer, see how we've interpreted this story.
And also,
and these
too,
themes.
I mean, these issues were far more challenging, perhaps, to audiences in the 90s. And they were incredibly well received by all different types of people as well.
Yeah.
And we're in 2024 now.
Absolutely.
It is a production from the Letterkenny Music and Drama Group, and great to get onto this stage with this type of a show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was in a production of Rent in 2011 with the Buncrana Group, Grease Paint Productions, and we brought it to Angrenan for two nights back then. That was 2011, and we did it in the Playhouse in Derry. We'd sold out in Derry, but we had limited audiences in Letterkenny, and in fact, there was always the funny story where a group of school children were brought, and they were frog marched out at the halftime because I don't think people realised that there were mature themes.
I do
in
notice
it.
It's written on the poster now. So.
Yeah. I mean, it does come with a, you know, we do recommend
strong language, mature
plus.
Themes, yeah. 15 plus.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, it's everyone's discretion. You know, if you do have a 13, 14 year old that you think, you know, you're happy enough to go and see, that's fine, you know, but it's just a recommendation. It's not a kids' show.
So Friday, August 2nd, 8 p.m, Saturday, August 3rd, 8 p.m. It's in on Greenon Theatre. And Mara, you'd encourage everyone who can to get along to it on either of the nights.
Oh, of course, yeah.
A lot of work goes into this as well, too, often.
Huge
I mean,
work.
We only see the end result, don't we? But it's an awful lot of stuff in the background.
And I suppose for the Letterkenny Music and Drama Group, we don't usually do a show in the middle of the summer. So, I mean, personally, I think I take it as a great sort of honour and privilege that I've been trusted by the group to take on this show to do. So we are very appreciative to all those who are coming out and buying their tickets and are going to support us and
just
come and see us.
You referenced the sellout in Derry the last time when you did it with Buncrana Group and not quite as popular in Letterkenny. Did you mention that purposely? What are you drawing from that? Is it that people think it's something it isn't? Or different
possibly.
Attitudes?
I
or?
Don't know. I mean, maybe the Playhouse is a smaller it's a smaller house anyway, so it probably was easier to sell it out there. I don't know. I think maybe people might have been cautious about it here in Letterkenny that it isn't, you know, it isn't the usual. It certainly isn't Calamity Jane. But I think now we have opened our minds and our attitudes in general. And I suppose another point to make is that it's being staged very purposely to coincide with the Letterkenny Pride Festival at the next weekend. It's been great to sort of been embraced by that.
Yeah.
Also,
but it's not exclusive to that audience.
No, it isn't.
I can't even phrase that.
Isn't,
you know what I mean?
But it is a story that forms a very important part of I suppose the LGBT history, especially when it is dealing with the topics of HIV and AIDS and what that meant for a decimation of a community.
And I suppose
back at that
time. Looking to put something on in the summer and then it aligning itself with the Pride Festival, it appears like it's written in the stars.
Yeah, the plot is aligned a little bit. Yeah,
it is
a show for everybody, and we're appreciative to everyone
Brilliant
that comes
stuff.
Out and supports us.
Looking I'm sure many people looking forward to getting to it. Go to ongreenon.com or call them on 912777. The box office open right now, or if it's not quickly, can you run and open it? But for now, Mara McGinley, choreographer, and also Joanne in Rent, and also as well with me is Mary Lane, director. Anything else either of you want to add? happy enough. I think we've covered everything.
Come on down.
Come on down. The rent is right.
That is it, yeah.
Okay. Right, thanks both of you very much indeed. Back shortly. The old programmes are the best. I like the channel I get Steptoe and Son on. Are you being served and keeping up appearances, etc.? You're always guaranteed a laugh, unlike most of the modern programmes. Just my view. The Quiet Man with the beautiful Maureen O'Hara likes We Will Never See Again. Greg, glad you're back. Our favourite presenter. That comes in from Phil. Thanks, Phil. I love you. What?
What relation is Phil?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care. Phil,
I saw you out the back on your other phone. Yeah,
yes, but no. Well, I wouldn't have read it. But thanks, Phil. That's nice. No one ever says anything nice to me. Hi, Greg. Started to rewatch The Royal Family. Jim Royle's a legend. Remind you of anyone? I haven't watched it. Who's? Go on. Tell me who it should remind me of, please. Hi, Greg and Telly Gang. Looking forward to new Deadpool. If more successful, maybe Wolverine does Wrexham. I enjoyed Twister. It was as good as the original. And I hear Spielberg had a twister to the end of the film too. Did Michael say he wasn't convinced at Daisy Edgar Jones acting and he wouldn't be the first, as I've heard, fart acting? As you turn around and smell the air, well, no better person to steal from is Joey Tribbiani. But her Irish accent wasn't fake, as her mum's from Northern Ireland, and you'll see her copy Theresa Mannion's Unnecessary Journeys weather warning for the Northwest.
Really,
which reminds me, no doubt, Fionnuala's on the N17, Q Saw Doctors, gathering her tribe for Sunday versus Armagh. If they do win, spare a thought for the neighbours and go easy on the May. Sounds like a relaxing weekend. Kevin in Dunlow.
That was brilliant.
Thanks so much, Kevin. He's a class act.
I'm now just putting Theresa Mannion into Twisters in my mind.
Is it in there? Is it?
Okay. Should be.
Right,
should
okay.
be.
I'm not going to do Spider-Mania. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
What's it about? Briefly.
It's all the Spider-Man films are coming back to the cinema, Greg.
Bob Newhart.
Which ones are you going to see, Greg? Which ones are you going to see? Do you want to come with me?
No, Bob Newhart, The Lost City Netflix, because it's more accessible.
I don't think he wants to come to the cinema with me to see all the Spider-Man movies.
I am incredibly busy.
It's on for 8 weeks, Greg.
Mm-mm. I have something on every week, every hair washing.
I did try. Sorry, what did you want me to chat about?
Bob Newhart, The Lost City.
Oh, no, Bob Newhart has passed away. That's why I wanted to chat about him.
Oh, yes. Of course, Bob Newhart.
Fionnuala said to mention this. If Fionnuala was here, she would have mentioned it. So she kind of, I took the baton for her.
Yeah.
A huge fan of Bob Newhart. Truly a comic genius. I say that in light of the fact that he did a style of stand-up comedy that was unique. He wasn't the first one to do his one-sided telephone conversations thing. But he really ran with it, and I remember loving them when I was a kid. I remember seeing him reenact them on late night BBC. They used to show highlights of the Dean Martin show from the 60s and 70s. And then he had a couple of sitcoms, and his long-running 80s sitcom, just called Newhart, was a favourite of mine, still is a favourite of mine. Fantastic show where he was running an inn in Vermont, and all these strange, quirky characters would come in. And the humour, they were very funny. You had great actors like Tom Poston and so forth playing these characters. But Newhart was so good at being the straight man. His constant, hesitant delivery as he looked and listened and talked to these people in shock as they said strange things to him. And in recent years, then he was recurring on Big Bang Theory. He played about six different times.
What a career span.
Incredible career span. And just watching, I was actually watching a thing about him, a documentary about his friendship with another comedian during the week. And by all accounts, a lovely man behind the scenes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hard worker, really funny, really great to work with. Always hear good things about the experiences people had working on his two long running television shows. And it's end of an era. It's
yeah,
end of a legacy.
Indeed. But what, you know, we all have to die.
Of course,
what
a life well lived.
To be able to live a long life and to leave a legacy like that, it's
incredible,
something
yeah.
I would take, to be
I
honest
agree.
With you. So fair play to him. Lots of stuff there for people to nostalgia over, but also future generations to see.
Well, particularly in the 80s, people would have watched. I mean, it was always on RT Monday nights.
Mm.
Everybody, I mean, we spent 8 years watching that show. So, I mean, that's a lot of time for a lot of people.
So what's your plans for the weekend, Katie, if any? Just chill, working?
I'm working on Sunday. Okay. Actually,
here or in here, on your extracurricular activities?
I'm working on Sunday here, and okay. And children's birthday parties, and you know, hanging with the kids tomorrow.
Children's
I'm actually looking
parties.
Forward to it because I was working on my other projects for the whole weekend last weekend. So I'm actually really looking forward to actually having.
I
a bit
enjoy
of
children's birthday
time
parties.
In Arena 7 tomorrow. Kind of, you know, just.
Does the noise bother you pool? Of kids playing? I actually can completely zone it out. Kids can scream and cry in a restaurant and it doesn't put me off at all.
Yeah, no, it would annoy me in a restaurant now, I have to admit.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
But you get to a stage where when you have kids and you take them over to a soft play centre and you sit down with a coffee and they're off playing and they're old enough that they can sort of climb and do whatever and, you know, they'll be okay, relatively speaking. And you can sit there and drink your coffee and finoodle on your phone. And I just love it. And my husband, on the other hand, is like, oh my God, it's my worst nightmare. And I'm like, how? Like, because they're totally, they're not swinging out of you.
At all, exactly. And in the evening, they're knackered Rekt. And you can put them to bed.
Yeah, but there's a good hour and a bit of
pure buzz still.
Or crying.
Okay. Come here, listen. We'll enjoy it, Katie. Thank you so very much for deputising today. Michael, as always, thank you
Pleasure.
Very much indeed. We'll watch Deadpool and Wolverine because I do like Deadpool.
We can go together. I'm going back to see it again.
Anyway,
you just tell me when, Greg. You just tell me when.
Waiting clips on Netflix. I'm only joking. Listen, thank you very much indeed. And thank you to all of you who listened to the show. Really appreciate it. We're back with you on Monday morning, all being well. Have a great weekend. And thanks, of course, to Caroline Orr, who researched and produced, and Shannon. We'll working hard on the show as well. See you Monday.